You never know what the Lord's doing. And Brother Barry, thank you for the privilege to come and be a part of this Jubilee. These Friday night, actually, we had Saturday night services at Zirconia Baptist Church for 7 years. Every Saturday night. Now, I know Jubilees are once a month and they're special and all that. But those Saturday night youth meetings, if there was a hot dog served, I never got one. If there was a hamburger put out, I never got one. We didn't have any diesel smoke blowing in from special singing groups. But it was just young people. Brother Raymond Geis, an old-time preacher,
yes,
had a lady in the church stayed after him. Do something for the young people. Do something for the young people. And she's talking about a ball team or something of that nature. And he got to praying about it, and he said, all right, I'm going to do something for the young people. Every Saturday night, we're going to have a youth meeting. If you want to show up, all right. If you don't, all right. But we're going to be here. And he'd have a young preacher come and preach to young people. And Brother Barry, there's something about young preachers preaching to young people.
Yes.
I've seen it happen again and again. They may not have it all together theologically, but they got a heart of zeal and a desire to see God move. And I'll tell you, the Lord blesses that. And when you're on fire for God, that's the main thing that counts. All that other stuff, it'll settle out and it'll work out. But there's 7 years. We called it Saturday Night Live. Amen. Folk got right with God, got saved. God called preachers and the glory was on. And it filtered into other churches. We had churches from about 4 states there many times that would show up. And when those young people would go back on fire for God, they'd go in their churches and stir them up on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then other churches started having youth meetings as well. And it was a feeder and a filler for that. And I praise God for that. And so I thank God for Jubilees and for youth meetings and for just old-time preaching, old-time praying, old-time repentance, and getting right with God. Amen. And that's what it requires. And I do appreciate this church back in our ministry for many years, Brother Barry. Y'all have sent us a check every month and allowed us to be able to stay out there on the road. Just returned from India a couple of weeks over there. And while we're gone, the well went out. And my wife was out of water for 2 weeks. And then we went through a big process and all that. And we're just now getting water back. And, you know, you think, oh, you know, they're just on a vacation or loafing somewhere. But it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. But God takes care and God puts it all together. And I bless His name. Pray for us coming up in a few months. We'll be back down in Brazil preaching the Word of God. And then we'll be going over to Australia. And then we've got a trip lined up as well to not only Australia and Brazil, but we'll be going back to India again, God willing. And then we've got some other places we'll be going to in the coming year. And I'd ask you to continue to pray for that, along with revival meetings in churches. And we're seeing a little stir of God. Brother Barry's nephew, Brother Jonathan, over there at the Fellowship Baptist Church off Howard Gap Road in Hendersonville. This is their second week. My son-in-law, Matthew Morgan's preaching there. And God's been blessed. They had another lady saved there last night. And far as I know, they'll be going on next week as well. And there's something about January revival meetings. A lot of preachers afraid to have them, afraid of the snow and the bad weather. But I'll tell you, folk are ready for something about January. They've been through Thanksgiving. They've been through Christmas. Now all the ball games are over with, amen, and they were ready for something spiritual. And some of the best meetings I've ever been in started right in the heart of dead winter. Folk are stir crazy and ready to get out, and I encourage preachers, hey, don't just have them in April and August, two busiest months of the entire year. Praise God, give God's people something in the wintertime. Amen. Sheep need, you know, you need to fertilize your grass in the wintertime too. You don't think about that because you're not cutting it, but if you want a green yard, and the church needs fertilizing in the wintertime. Amen. But I do covet your prayers as we'll be laboring on in the gospel in this field of evangelism. Turn, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. Matthew 6 and verse number 33, let's stand. Most of you could quote this verse by memory, but we're going to read it publicly again tonight. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Lord, I pray You'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank You for what You've said and done through the song service and the testimonies. I pray You'd further that work. Lord, I do pray You'd bless them at fellowship tonight. Lord, anoint Matthew to preach. And Lord, draw in souls. There's been some under Holy Ghost conviction still needing to get saved. And God, I pray You'd break that revival out and let it run all over the country. Lord, I pray You'd send a great revival here at Rogersville. Outpour Your Spirit. Thank You for Brother Barry and holding the line these years. And Lord, I pray You'd encourage the people of God and the other churches that are represented here tonight. Lord, send revival. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching tonight on the simple subject, Matthew 6:33. Now, there are some preachers in this hour that say the Sermon on the Mount has absolutely nothing to do with the church age. Trouble is, there are promises in this Sermon on the Mount that go beyond even the church age. They reach from Genesis to Revelation, and the truths and the principles taught in these verses extend well beyond one age or one setting of time. But they hold forth principles and blessings for all those that will believe God and lay hold on the Word of God. I believe in the whole Bible for the whole man. And I believe that in the volume of the book it is written of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you go in this blessed book, you can pick something up about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the food. He is the water. Yea, He is the life for God's people. And when we look through the Word of God and we're looking for Him, we can always find something to feed upon in the Scripture. Now, let's look first of all at the context of this verse. We see as the Lord is preaching, He's laying out a truth that there are two ways of life. There's the ways of the world, and then there's the ways of God. In verse number 19, He says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth." Now, that's the way of the world. They're banking for the now. They're banking with treasures on the earth, and they're putting up for the things of the world. But He reminds us that if you do that, that moth and rust is going to corrupt, and thieves are going to break through and steal, and I can add the IRS is going to tax it and try to take it away from you. Amen. And so if you're laying up treasures of this world and that's all you're laying up for, mark it down, it is not going to last. The Lord said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He says in verse 20, "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." He's talking about two different lifestyles, the people that have their vision and eyes on this world and laying up treasures for here, and those that have looked beyond that into the eternal realm, and they know that there will be another reaping in another world, and that God's children are not going to be robbed by the thief, nor corrupted nor cankered by the moth and the rust. Then He goes on to tell us in verse number 24, again, no man can serve two masters. He's talking about the two masters. And He says either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold of the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and anything else. I like what the old Puritan writer John Gill said one day. Fella came to him and said, "Gill, if you don't quit preaching the way you're preaching, your subscribers are going to quit supporting you." Without even thinking, old Brother Gill said, "I'm not afraid to be poor." Amen. And you've got to make up your mind, am I going to go with God regardless of what it costs? Or have I got something laid in the back of my mind that I'm going to hold on to lest, you know, all the other stuff don't work out. I thank God for people that have committed themselves to the Lord regardless of the consequences, regardless of the cost. You are my master. Friend, you can't serve two masters. You can't, I can't, nobody else can. And the Lord demands that we submit to Him in our lives as total Lord of all. Then in verse number 25, He says, take no thought for your life. Now, that's the key to these thoughts. Thought for your life. Well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to do. And you hear young people a lot of times talking to their mom and their dad after they've got some good hearty counsel from them. Well, I don't care. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what that preacher says. This is my life. I'm going to live it, not him. Well, the Lord said, if you take thought for your life and it's your life, you're going to mess up big time. But if ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, then your life is no longer your life. But Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is the Christ life, where Jesus is living His life through us, where He's master of all, where He's Lord of all, where He is our life. Not this part of life, or He's given us eternal life, but Jesus is our life. He says in verse number 25, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, materialism tells us that the essence of life is what you wear, what you eat, where you live, and what you have. And materialism and communism says the life consists of the abundance of the things that a man possesses and he can gain. But the Lord Jesus said there's a whole lot more to life than accumulating things, eating, drinking, being merry, and having the physical nature taken care of. In verse number 26, He said, I want you to go look and do a little bird watching. Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? My mom and dad, I bought them several Christmas presents, and one of them was a bag of bird feed. And they got the fattest birds in their backyard. They loved to throw that seed out to the birds. And as I gave that to them, I thought, you know, God put it in my heart to give them bird seed to feed those little fellas. He cares for the fowls of the air. There's not one that falleth that God does not attend their funeral. I was in Washington State one time, and I was going through some real deep waters, and I was out there by one of those great big old fir trees. You couldn't hardly even see the top of it. Just leaned against it, sitting there in the woods. I was praying, and I heard something behind me, and so I turned around and looked. And it was a little old bitty fat brown bird. I thought it was a rat at first because his eyeballs was bugging out. And he was just a big old plump round bird. And the rascal was over there eating something, and then he flew off. And the Lord said, now look at that fella. Nobody else is going to see that bird but you, but I take care of him. And if I take care of him, then I'm going to take care of you. Y'all just do some bird watching. Amen. And then He says in verse number 28, why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Go out and look at the flowers. I remember my wife was in the hospital, and we had been having some difficulties with one of our children that's born. And I remember Bridger was a little old fella, and me and him was outside the hospital, and we come walking down in front of the flower garden there, and he just stopped and said, looky here, Daddy, and he stuck his nose in a flower, and he smelled of it, and he said, that smells so good, just look at that. And God reminded me of that verse, that if He clothes the lilies of the field, if He puts dew on them and gives them what they need, and Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like one of them, do you not think He's going to take care of you as His child? Then down in verse number 30, he said, if God clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or wherewithal shall ye be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now he's not saying don't get up and go to work tomorrow. He's not saying or Monday. He's not saying don't get up and take care of yourself and plant the garden and all that. But what he's saying is don't let that be the main attraction of your life. Don't get all tore up and worried about that. God is going to take care of his children. But here's what he wants. He wants a relationship with his children. And if you notice through these verses that we came through, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. Now he's speaking of the fact that we're his children. And he's our Heavenly Father, and if we'll have a right relationship with him, then our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Now, look at this verse, Matthew 6:33. Number one, I see the alternative. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In verse 32, he said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are living in that lifestyle. Right. Worldlings have their eyes upon materialism, on pleasure, upon the world. But he said there is an alternate lifestyle. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. And it's a right alternate lifestyle. Right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm glad, thank God, there is an alternate lifestyle. I didn't know anything about that till I got saved by the grace of God. I didn't know anything about that till I got right with the Lord and began to realize that there is a spiritual world, there is a walk with God, there is a fellowship with Him. Yea, there is another octave, another plane, another plateau of living. The world, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall surely die. But I'm glad, praise God, I found out something about a well of living water that springs up into eternal life and something real and spiritual, and you enter into a realm that the world knows nothing about. They're baffled by it. They're buffaloed by it. They look on the outside and they can't peer into it. And you're not going to know about it until you get saved by the grace of God. And then when you get saved, you enter into another realm and another world. The Lord says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Many think that gain is godliness, but the Bible tells us that godliness is the gain. And when you walk with God and you know him and you fellowship with him, then it opens to you a brand new world that this system knows nothing of. And so there is an alternate. Number two, look at the attitude. He says, but seek ye first. Seek ye first. First. First is priority. You know why you're here tonight? You sought first to come to the house of God. Now, there are other things to do. There are other places to go. We've all got busy lives. You've got things that you have on your agenda that you want to accomplish and all that. But somewhere in this evening, you said in your mind, no, I'm going to lay all that aside and I'm coming to the house of God. And I commend you for that. First, that's a priority. Putting it above all. Putting it above everything else. Putting it on the top level above any other thing that you want to do. Is that where the Lord Jesus is in your life? Is he on the priority list? Is he first and foremost above all? But seek ye first. That's our position, seek. Seek means to worship. It means to plot, to endeavor, to inquire, to look into. It means to wait upon and to long. And if you're seeking somebody, that means you really want to see that person. And the Bible says, but seek ye first. And are you seeking God first? If I want to know, see you and seek you, then I'll call you up. And if that don't work, maybe I'll call your mom or your daddy or your neighbor. I'll call the other phone, the home phone, the cell phone. I got all kind of numbers of different people, you know. And if that don't work, then I'll go to your house. And if I holler and knock on the door and nobody comes, I'll go to the back door. And if nobody comes there, I'll holler down at the barn. I'll say, hey, anybody here? If that don't work, I'll go to the neighbor. Have you seen so-and-so? Well, no, I haven't. And then I'll talk to the kinfolk. Well, they said they were going. And I'll just keep on keeping on until I seek you and I find you. You know when real revival will come? When we can quit casually worshiping. And just come to church. Well, bless me if you can. If it happens all right, if it don't all right. The revival meetings that I've been in that have turned to real revival, my friend, it's because people begin to seek the Lord with all their heart. And if it don't happen tonight, they're going to seek God until they do see it happen. And they're not going to give up. And they're not going to give in. They're just going to keep seeking and longing and desiring and say, Lord, like Jacob, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I didn't come here just to go the way I came in. Lord, I want you to help me. And if it don't happen tonight, I'm going to keep seeking you till it does happen. God, I need some help. Lord, I got a burden in my heart for somebody to be saved. I'll never forget old brother Jerry Whitesides in the Middle Fort Revival meeting. Jerry came night after night to the prayer room. And he'd say, pray for my brother Terry. He's not saved. He needs to get saved. He said he ain't coming, but we're going to keep praying. He is a coming. And boy, for 7 weeks, Jerry would show up there. And then on the last night of the meeting, he came in and his face was swelled up and red. I said, what happened to you, Jerry? He said, oh, I went over to my brother's house and asked him to come to the meeting one more time. And said he'd give me an uppercut and rolled me out in the yard. He said, I got up, walked across the yard crying, praying for him, got to the house, the phone was ringing. And he said, there's Terry on the other end of the line. He said, Jerry, he said, I'll be there tonight. And he said, I'm going to have to go to work, boys. I laid out a second shift so much they're going to fire me. They done told me they're going to fire me. I got to go, but you pray for Terry. He said he's coming. I looked up that night, and here's this great, big old burly red-headed fella with a big bushy beard sitting back there on the back, preached the word of God, gave the invitation. He came and got saved by the grace of God on the very last night of the meeting. And then the Lord called him to preach the word of God, and he pastors there in Bavard, one of the roughest outfits I've ever seen in my life, the project people and the dopers and all the rest of it. And I saw him here a while back at a McDonald's while I was preaching up that way. And we're sitting there talking. He said, Brother Andy, said, you remember God saved me and put me in the ministry? And I said, yeah. He said, now not for any bragging and not for anybody else's records or sake. But he said, from that time to this, I've been writing down every one of them that God's let me get on my knees with and pray and see them get saved. And he said, today, the old rough boy come down there to our little old ministry that we've got, our food bank ministry, and said he is rough as a cob, and said, I wrote his name down, and he was number 1900 since that meeting. Glory to God. And, you know, it sort of just goes right under the radar. Nobody knows all about that. But he had a brother that said, hey, I'm going to seek God, and I'm not going to let go till I see God answer the prayer. And if we'd start travailing in Zion, and we'd get down to business and seeking God first in our life, instead of just, well, bless me if you can, if it comes all right, if it don't come all right. No, old Hannah said, God, I've got to have children or I'm going to die. God, this thing's killing me. And he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we see it's personal. But seek ye, ye. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Husband can't do it for you. Wife can't do it for you. The preacher, he can preach to you, but he can't do it for you. Seek ye first. But you know what? Nobody can hinder you from it either. Amen. It's just personal between you and God. Don't play the blame game. Well, if oh so-and-so, I'd get right with God. Don't play that number. Boy, such and such wasn't here in this church. I know they're such a hypocrite. I would forget all that mess. They're not going to stand in before God in your place. You're going to stand there, you and Him. And nobody can do it for you, and nobody can hinder you. This is personal, and it's between you and God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now notice number three, the avenues. What does He want us to seek? Number one, He wants us to seek the kingdom of God. And number two, the righteousness of God. And so He wants us to seek the ruler, and then He wants us to seek His righteousness. If we're seeking the kingdom of God, what's the first part of the word kingdom?
King.
King. Now, we don't have a king over America. Mr. Obama's tried to think he's a king, but he's fixing to get erased about January the 20th, all this kingship executive orders that he's put out and what he's put this nation through, from his homosexual legislation right on down the line, and how the Congress is set by and twiddle their thumbs. They ought to be impeached, amen, and let him do all that. We don't elect the king. We elect the president. And we vote him in, we vote him out. You don't like him, go pull the handle. You don't like that congressman, that senator, they're representatives of you. You vote him in, vote him out. But you know what? You don't vote a king in, and you don't vote him out. Amen. He don't answer to a Congress. He don't answer to a Senate. There's no legislative body that tells the king what to do. In the king's word, there's the power of life and death. What do you do with a king? I mean a real king. You bow before him and you submit to him, or you reap the consequences thereof. Jesus Christ is not a president. Amen. He wasn't voted in, and He ain't going to be voted out. He was Lord before He ever came. He is Lord while He is here, and He'll be Lord throughout all eternity. And when we seek Him, you know who we're seeking? A king. A king, not one that asks your opinion. Well, would you mind if it's not too much trouble, and here's what I would request. If you can fit this into your busy, no, that's not the way it works. The king gives his word and he commands all men everywhere to repent. That's not a suggestion from God. And his word is not suggested, it is divine command. Have you ever submitted to the kingship, the reign of the Lord Jesus? I remember one night after I'd got saved, I didn't know a whole lot about the Lord. Man, all I knew, I was going to hell. And I begged God to be merciful to me, a sinner, and He was merciful to me, a sinner. And from that point on, God began to deal with me about different things. And I remember just shortly thereafter getting in an altar on a Wednesday night. And I said, Lord, here it is, lock, stock, and barrel, drown, sink, swim. I'm on the top of the barrel, whatever you want. I'll preach, I'll deke, I'll teach. I'll go to Africa, Alaska, I'll stay at home, whatever you want, God. You are my Lord, whatever you want, here it is. And resign to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, a lot of folk are afraid to do that. I wouldn't take a blank sheet of paper and sign my name to the bottom of it and hand it over to you and say, you fill it in now. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Man, there's no telling what you'd write on there. But that night, literally, I wrote my name on the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and handed it over to the Lord. And I said, now, Lord, no ifs, ands, nor, fors, or buts, or any other clauses in the contract. Here it is. You fill it in, and by your grace, I'll try to serve you. And I remember taking that date book years ago and laying it on the old pine tree altar above the little trailer where I was living at. And I said, God, there it is. You fill it in, and by your grace, we'll sure try to go. I never have, Brother Barry, called places. I never have called preachers and said, hey, I'll come if you will this or if that. Or somebody calls me and I'll say, hey, you know, here's what I got. No, God fills it in, I go. And sometimes you may see on my schedule where I preach in what looks like an off-the-wall place. But you know, the Lord will sneak in sometimes. And people ask me, say, you have any problem preaching in liberal churches? I said, no, it all weeds itself out. Once in a while, one might have me come in and preach. But if they don't get right with God, I promise you, I won't be back. Amen. And I leave that up to Him. And I tell folk, if you don't like where I'm preaching at, then check with my booking agent. He's the one that books it. And when he's king, you don't have the privilege of sorting it all out and deciding what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. You just submit. But you know what? I've got such confidence in this King eternal, the immortal, the invisible. I know he loves me more than I love myself. He cared for me before I ever even existed. He set his sights and his focus on you and me before you was ever even born. Paul said, before my mother's womb, God separated me. And he chose to reveal his son in me. And if he loved me then, you think he's going to quit loving me now? And even though hard things come, all things still work together for good to them that love God. I can trust somebody like him. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do, to submit to his rulership. But then secondly, to his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's imputed righteousness, and that only comes when you trust in the blood of Christ. No man can be made righteous in and of himself. It comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and the imputed, imparted righteousness of the Lord. And then there is practical righteousness. That's right living and doing what God wants you to do. Ask you something. Do you check with him about everything? Huh? Do you text your friends and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Or do you look in the text of the scripture and say, God, what do you think about it? What is right and what is wrong? We got a generation being governed by this system. The news media, the printed page, the newspaper, the internet, the teachings of our schools and all of that. They want to try to sway us in what we're to do or not do when we're to take as our righteous standard the Word of God. And if God said it, that settles it whether any of the rest of this crowd understand it or believe it or not. And when we're seeking him, we want to find out what's God say about it. Well, Lord, what should I do about that? Now, let me ask my best friend. No, you better ask God. You better ask God about that job. You better ask God about that move you're fixing to make. You better ask God about what you're going to do, what you're going to buy, what you're going to sell. You better ask God about everything and say, Lord, I want you and your righteousness in my life above everything and above everybody else. Amen. And so we see the avenues. Number four, look at the attainments. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he said, and all these things, and that coordinating conjunction. It's like hooking the boxcar blessings on the train that is just roared through. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. All. What's he talked about? Well, he's talked about eating, drinking. He's talking about the body. He's talked about meat. He's talked about treasures, all the needs of our life, guidance, and all of these things. God said, if you seek me first, I'll take care of all the rest of it. And you know what he's saying to us? He's saying, if you'll have a right relationship with me, you can rest in the fact that I'll take care of all the rest of it. Amen. Coulter travels with me a good bit. Coulter, you got any money? None? You worried about the price of gas? To tire your nerves up whether you're going to get to eat another meal or not? What about how much electricity is? Does that just rattle your cage? The high cost of health care, is that disturbing you? You know why? He don't have a dime on him. But he's not afraid because he's got everything he needs in me. Daddy's going to take care of him. Woo! Hallelujah. And the Lord says, you have a heavenly Father. And you know what I don't want him doing? I don't want Coulter badgering me. Daddy, we're going to eat. We're going to sleep somewhere tonight. Daddy, we're going to get home. What about the high? I don't want him badgering me about that. If he knows me and he trusts me, he don't have to worry about that. All I want to do is have a relationship with him. And God said, I don't want you all tore up and worried and your cage rattled all the time about all this stuff. I want you to seek me. And if you'll seek my kingdom and my righteousness, I make you a promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know what all I need, but the Lord does know all I need. I may be wanting a blessing. I may need a thorn. Amen. I don't know what all God has for me, but he promised me all these things shall be added unto you. And you know, God's interested in things in our life. And he knows that we got to have things as we go through here. But he don't want you to be thing-minded. He wants you to be God-minded. And I look around tonight, the cars in the parking lot. I look at the threads on your back tonight. I look at how we're, as the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, they'll be fat and flourishing in old age. God has taken care of us real well. Say amen right there. And you know, if you get right with God, it's amazing how you will prosper financially and physically. Amen. I mean, you've been spending all that money on beer. You've been spending all that money on cigarettes. You've been going down there pulling that old one-armed bandit and losing all your money. And then you get saved right with God and you lay aside those vices. And on next Friday night, after the paycheck, you reach in your pocket. You say, whoa, where did that come from? Man, whoa, I didn't know I had all that. And if you're going to go with the world, you better be rich because they're not going to give anything to you. You're going to have to pay through your nose. And if you just get right with God and start tithing and doing right, you're immediately going to be blessed. That's just the way things work. But God said, all these things shall be added. Now notice the word added, not given to you at one time. What would you do if God gave you all the food that you would eat for the rest of your life, if he decided to give it to you tonight, what would you do with it all? It'd be terrible. I wouldn't know where to can it, where to freeze it, where to put it up, how to take care of it. I don't need it, but I do need the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And I'm going to let the Lord take care of it until I need it. Amen. What we want is everything right now, and we say that'll cure our worrying. That won't cure your worrying. That'll just start your worrying. But if you got your eyes on the Lord, hallelujah, day by day, I being in the way the Lord led me, and he provides every step, every phase, all along the journey. When you get there, thank God he'll be there. When the rainy day comes, hallelujah, he'll be there. When the troublesome time comes, he said, I've not forsaken you in six troubles, and I'm sure not going to forsake you in the seventh. God's not going to bail out and leave us to waller and flounder along by ourselves when we're submitted to him, seeking him first. He said, I'll do the adding. I'll give it to you just when you need it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All these things shall be added. And then here it's personal, unto you. Unto you. I believe that's good for a nation. I believe we'll turn back to God. We'll put some leaders in that have a righteous attitude. People say, well, politics don't matter. Ask Hezekiah if it mattered. Yeah. Well, Hezekiah was a hurricane come through there, buddy. He put out the sodomites on their head and tore down the altars of Baal. And there was not only revival, but there was reformation. And we need some reformation in this country. And I'm seeing some of this that's coming to pass. And I'm praying that God will move on our nation. I believe nationally, if we'd get back to seeking God, and if you look back over the history of this land, and you study the Revolutionary War, God sent revival just prior to that, and he used an Englishman right in the middle of it by the name of George Whitefield. made some 11 trips over to this country. Benjamin Franklin said, I heard him preach in the streets of Boston. Well over 30,000 people there, and you could hear him for a mile and a half with that clear bell-like voice. And God sent a sweeping revival that joined the heart of the colonies together. And the churches were in the spirit of revival when that Revolutionary War broke out. And the great catalyst for bringing the people together was that move of God. Somebody sought God first, then God let us break the yoke and the band of England and become the nation that we are today. And you can't read the Constitution and the laws and the things that our forefather put into the governments of this country without realizing somebody sought God first back there years ago. Nationally. I think congregationally, this promise is good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when congregations get back to seeking God wholeheartedly in prayer meetings, in repentance, in supplication, in real concern, God said, I'm going to start adding to you. But then individually, I look throughout the Word of God and I find out it wasn't just good for preachers, but it's good for anybody that'll cast their lot with God. Oh, listen, the old prophets, they sought God first and God took care of them. But the people of God sought God first and God took care of them as well. Little old boy one day said, Andrew, I know Jesus needing something to feed this crowd. I got 5 loaves and 2 fish here. And he said, oh, I'll give them to him. Lord, here, this boy's give this to you, but what are they among so many? And with a scornful laugh, he hands it to Jesus. Jesus said, all right, get your baskets out, boy. Sit down, and I'm going to feed this bunch right out of this 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know what? There's 12 basketfuls left over, and I can't help but believe that old boy went home with at least one basketful, maybe one on each arm, after God got done with everything. Simon Peter, I need to borrow your boat. There's a big crowd here, and I need a pulpit. Oh, man, I've been up all night long fishing. Now, fishing's all right all night long, but they had a bad trip of it. They tore up their nets. Because Peter and John are sitting over there, or James and John are sitting over there on the shore mending their nets. They tore up their equipment. They didn't catch nothing. That makes for a long fishing trip, catching nothing. And then Peter backed his boat out. Amen. We've all been there, brother. Amen. But he backed his boat out. Jesus preached, and the heat of the day's coming, and it gets hotter, and he gets longer and longer. And finally, he says, amen. Old Peter starts rowing back in. The Lord said, you're rowing the wrong way. Turn this boat around. Launch out into the deep. Now, you take your drought of fishes, Lord. We've toiled all night long, taking nothing. But nevertheless, your word. And he let down one little bitty net, the test net. And God said, let down your nets. He let down one little bitty test net, but that thing started swelling up, and the water started churning like you put the agitator on in a washing machine. And the net began to break, not because fish is trying to get out, but because more fish is trying to get in, glory to God. Hey, John, James, get over here. And they threw their net, and they all loaded their boats. Peter sought the Lord first. God took care of him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think about Solomon. God said, what do you want, Solomon? Anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. Now what if God said to you, what do you want? What do you care about? What would you like to have? Solomon said, God, I want wisdom to govern your people. I want to do the job you've called me to do with the wisdom of heaven. God said, all right, I'm going to give that to you. But also, I'm going to give you riches and power and all these things you didn't ask for because you sought me first. Now, I'm going to bless you with a great variety of other things. Oh, listen, I've been at this thing since 1977, seeking God's face first. And the Lord has not only taken care of me, but He's given me many of my wants and many of my needs. He's taken care of all my needs, and He's given me many of my wants. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing any better than selling out lock, stock, and barrel and going with God. And if you claim this promise and obey this promise, he said, all these things shall be added unto you. Now you can get out there and seek it yourself. You can get out there and try to labor for it yourself. Or you can go with God, and God will give you wisdom. He may give you a business. He may give you something that's just great, great blessings in every direction. But you better be seeking Him first and foremost. And when you do, you got the promise that everything else will be added as He is pleased. Matthew 6:33.